following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. In the zone.
Turn a blind eye to your windshield wipers, and you could be driving blind. That's why it's a great rule of thumb to replace your wipers every 6 months to ensure clear, safe visibility. Right now at AutoZone, buy one Duralast FlexBlade wiper with advanced wiper technology for superior all-weather performance, and get the second one half off. See store for restrictions and details. Get the visibility you need with Duralast FlexBlade wipers only at AutoZone, where parts are just part of what we do.
Get in the zone!
AutoZone.
Hi, I'm Mike Greenberg. Think you've tried everything for your allergies? Well, Allegra works like nothing else. Only Allegra is both fast and non-drowsy, starts working in just an hour, keeps working for 24 hours to relieve your toughest symptoms like sneezing, runny nose, and itchy, watery eyes. It's effective even at 8 times high pollen levels. So remember, you can have it all with Allegra. It applies to first dose only among OTC-branded antihistamines and controlled environment studies using pollen deemed high by the National Allergy Bureau. Users directed, visit Allegra.com.
You're tuned in to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line, emailing the Dent Popper inbox, by sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. The show that brings you guests that offer the best insight from the top professionals in sports.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald. Brian Rosenthal, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star. From ESPN, ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg, Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star. Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated, Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com.
As well as the top athletes and coaches in sports.
Tim Miles in his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. U.S. Olympian Tervell Delagnev, Doug O'Neill, winning trainer of All Have Another.
Who'll be on the show today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
What is that? I can't tell. What? I'm actually looking out the window. Is that the sun? Oh, it came up!
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this Monday. I get it, Husker fan. Too many Mondays after Husker losses anymore. And we devote most of our hour to you, the fans, as I've been listening and reading a little bit on Sunday and Monday. To Husker fan reaction out there, and some of it is obviously warranted. 63 points against Bo Pelini's defense should never ever happen. I get it. You can bring up the old names. I get it. And you can say whatever you want about turnovers and punt returns. Okay, take away 3 turnovers and a punt return. That's still 35 points on Bo Pelini and Jeff and John Papuchis and the entire defensive front there. That's still too much, obviously. Your thoughts. Brian Rosenthal, Lincoln Journal Star, is going to join us in our next segment. He was there. He did not give it a passing grade. Nebraska did some good things, but that defense, and I told you at the beginning of the year on this radio program, I'm not worried about Taylor Martinez. I'm not worried about a lot of things. I'm worried about the defense. I'm worried about the secondary. I'm worried about the linebacking core. I'm going to be behind the program. I'm going to support everything I'm going to support the program, okay? But Nebraska, on the big scale of things, I can't believe people were shocked and drank the Kool-Aid. And I was a little surprised that Nebraska was up 17-7, should have been 21-7. In the football game early in the second quarter. This second half by Ohio State dwarfs the second half Nebraska had last year against Ohio State. At least Nebraska had to go out and earn it. All Ohio State had to do was snap the ball. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. A couple of things I will throw out there. I've heard this a couple of times. If you don't quit referencing the Tom Osborne era, This football program is never going to move forward. This isn't the 70s and 80s and 90s. You have to change with the times. If you want to reference Tom Osborne, then reference the changes that Tom Osborne made when we got rolled by Georgia Tech in the Citrus Bowl after the 90s season. Reference that, folks. You think there's enough Nebraska kids that can play on this football team?
There's not. We should give them scholarships. Are you nuts? I heard that comment today. Are you out of your minds? Give this program some time to fix itself. There are no quick fixes. Don't fall in to the traps that we have seen at programs. Remember when Kansas State was the laughingstock? Even Iowa State has found a way to win some football games. We've got much better base here at the University of Nebraska. I get it. It's his fifth year, and these are all his kids, blah, blah, blah. You know what? You're either referencing Tom Osborne or you just don't like Nebraska football. And you're, you know, when they lose, it's just you're off the bandwagon. When they win, oh, yeah, woo! Southern Miss, have you taken a look at them? Ofer. They haven't won a football game. Haven't won a football game. Second game of the year, UCLA. They got two losses since we played them. They got beat by a one-win Cal team Saturday. Idaho State, don't even. Arkansas State, under 500 the last I checked. Wisconsin, we all know they're not that good. Nebraska hadn't played anybody till Saturday. We played the eighth-ranked team in the country, and they stuck it to us. I think the most impressive thing was is they were trying to stick it to us in the first quarter, and Nebraska was able to overcome playing in front of 106,000 fans against the team that looked like they were going to be better than Nebraska and eventually were. But once the mistakes started piling up in the second quarter, and another thing I'm going to hear is, how come we can't make adjustments at halftime? Did we need to make adjustments at halftime? We needed to make adjustments on the fly in the second half. We had to adjust to Ohio State's adjustments. That's where the adjustment problem came in. Nebraska shot itself in the foot in the second quarter. That's why they were behind. But as the game moved on, it looked like they wore down, progressively got worse, obviously, tackling. And it's nothing that, again, we haven't been preaching on this radio show for a long time. Try to stay the course. The beginning of the year, this was a loss. It shouldn't be this bad of a loss. In fact, it was just a bad half of football. Your thoughts, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. As Steve Sipple said, Huskers take giant step backwards. Everybody has an article on it. Everybody has an opinion on it. But you look at what Nebraska has done, there's not much there, folks. There's not much there. They haven't played anybody until Saturday. Two's more spread offenses coming up in the next two games, Northwestern, which doesn't concern me near as much, as Michigan. Beginning of the year, I sat on this radio program as everybody asked, how are we going to be? How good are we going to be? What's our record going to be? I said 10-2. I thought we would beat UCLA. Lose to Ohio State and probably Michigan. Michigan or Michigan State. And Michigan State looks like crud. I mean, they should have got beat by Indiana. Indiana almost had a huge day Saturday, beating Michigan State football and Nebraska volleyball. They would have never had a fall sports day like that probably in the history of their programs, not on the same day. But they came up short in both of those. Where you at? Email us, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Or you can call us, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. That's the phone number to call if you'd like to be on the Doug and Daddy program this morning. Before we get too enthralled in this, I want to thank the folks over at NPPD. There was a power outage. If you've been listening all morning, you may have caught part of that. And we're slowly getting the listeners back over to ESPN 1460. But we had a power outage today. It's Columbus Day. I know some of you aren't working. And so there you go. Got that for you. But NPPD right here fixed it, got us on. Thanks, guys, gals, everybody that was involved in doing that. As quick a response as I've ever seen. Way to be on top of it. I know some of your brothers are out of the area working at other plants today, and I assume that's probably the main reason that NPPD was right on target today. Got us back up. And we're ready to go. The Big Ten Conference has announced that the start time and television network for Nebraska's game at Northwestern will not be made until next week. But we can tell you it will not be a night game. The game will be televised at either 11 a.m. or 2:30 Central Time. So that's it. That's all we know. That's all we know right now. We're battling with Purdue, Ohio State, and Michigan State, Michigan. The 7 o'clock game is going to be Penn State, Iowa on the Big Ten Network. It looks like they're not going to get a late game. Nebraska, Northwestern, get ready for that 11 a.m., folks. Get ready for that 11 a.m. It's all going to... It'll all pan out on how the results come this weekend, which Nebraska has the bye week. But Michigan, Michigan State, that looks like the home run hitter. But sometimes they put the better game at 11 a.m. because it's on its own, gets a national audience. So we'll wait and see. But we will not know the kickoff time for Nebraska Northwestern until next Sunday, probably Monday. But next Sunday at the very earliest is when they should announce when that game time will be. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. If you'd like to join us on the program today, give us a buzz, and we'd like to hear what you have to say. Is it just the same old, or is there really a problem in Lincoln? You look at some of the statistics. Rex Burkhead, good game for him till he got dinged up. Taylor Martinez, I know you can't just take away the interceptions, but until he got desperate, he was playing pretty good football. Ran for 75, threw for 214, had a couple of nice passes in there to Kenny Bell, who had a great day, made a couple of great catches, 133 yards in the contest for Kenny Bell. Spread it around to a whole bunch of different guys that caught the football. But in the end, it's not pretty. 63, I mean, this is 35-31 ball game. We come out, Nebraska comes out, starts second half, marches the ball right down the field. 7 plays, 77 yards, takes 2 minutes and 10 seconds, cut it to 4. But after that, 28 more points given up there to Ohio State. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Let's go to the Bruce Furniture fan line and get this thing started. Jerry and Carney, what's going on, Jerry?
Hey, how you doing, Doug? Probably not too good.
You know, I'm fine, Jerry, because I said after the UCLA game, I said anytime Husker fan gets all crazy this year, this isn't a national championship team. We're hoping it's a good enough team that can get to a Big Ten championship. We're not sure about that. I'm only astonished a little bit by the 63 that was put up. So, but anyway, your thoughts.
Yeah, well, I heard everybody talking on KGFW about, oh, Bo, should fire Bo, this, and I'm going, wait a minute. It took Osborne 10 years before he got over the hump when they said he couldn't win the big one. So, you know, got to be a little patient. That's all I got to say.
Hey, thanks, Jerry. Appreciate it. Yeah, patience is hard, folks. Patience is hard. Let's go to the Debt Popper inbox. I've heard you have to execute. Yeah, that's where the Husker fans, that's where the fine line is, right? Bo Pelini, by the way, no press conference today because it is a bye week, but Bo Pelini saying execute a lot, and it's frustrating. You can't, he said we didn't make tackles, but you can't throw your team under the bus. There's a frustrating line there of having the guys in the right place and maybe not having the talent to take care of it. This comes from Brett in Bertrand. Can you tell me why Bo refuses to blitz the mobile quarterbacks? Michigan State has been the best at stopping them. We did a great job with it in the first quarter. Michigan State's supposed to have the best defense in the Big Ten. That's the first thing. Whether it is or not, I don't know, but it's pretty darn good. Nebraska's defense isn't that good. I'm guessing if we were good enough, we would continue to do it. I don't know. I can't. I'm not in the locker room, and even if I was, I couldn't tell you all the X's and O's and motions and blitzes and things like that. That's never been my part of this radio show. I don't watch the game over and over and over and over. I just don't do it. But I'm gonna guarantee that 90% of the people out there in this state, and probably more, but I'll be lenient with the 90%. Probably not better coaches than the guys that are in Lincoln. There are questions. You can't just directly ask the coaches. What are they going to say? Yep, we're going to blitz more this week against Northwestern. Northwestern's going to go, they're going to blitz more. Maybe we ought to work on that. 888-455-ESPN. Larry in Loop City is joining us on the Bruce Furniture fan line here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Larry, what's up?
Hey, what's going on? Yeah, I know that Osborne didn't couldn't win the big one for a while, but if we're giving up 65 points, we're not ever going to play in the big one.
Well, and honestly, I don't know what you term a big one anymore, because let's face it, when T.O. was running the football program, how many big ones were there besides Oklahoma? I mean, that's the question.
Miami comes to mind.
Yeah, and it just took a long, long time. And I know Nebraska fans aren't going to be near as patient. And, Larry, thanks for the call, buddy. We appreciate it. 888-455-3776. Here's the deal, and please don't start this junk with, oh, we've got a new athletic director. He'll have a short leash. We'll be looking at it. Really? You're going to pay out another contract and bring in? You can't keep doing this. You're never going to get a quality candidate. You're not going to get Peterson from Boise State, Paul Rhodes from Iowa State. Really? Come on, people. Support it. Don't look for a reason to undermine it. These guys have got a ways to go. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. The problem is, well, one of the problems is, is that the Huskers, Bo came in, what did he have when he came in? And he turned that around. I have faith that he can do it again. I don't know if it's the coordinators, if they didn't get the guys. How many guys, though, have left the program or we thought we had as a Nebraska program and recruits and didn't show up? I mean, you recruit all year and then a kid tells you on signing day he's not coming. It's a pretty big blow. Let's go to the Dent Popper inbox and love to hear from you. Brian Rosenthal, Lincoln Journal star, just around the corner. Greg in Hastings says, while I was sickened by our football performance Saturday, I'm still a Husker fan. Cheering for a team while they are kicking butt is easy. Cheer for them while they are struggling, too, if you are a real fan. Anyone that isn't a fan and has tickets, please let us know, because lots of people are willing to take your tickets if you just want to grumble. That's an excellent point. Greg goes on to say, I would love to see us blitz more. I would love to see our line block better. However, I believe Bo and company are working hard to put the best product on the field that they can. Coach Osborne was ridiculed forever before reaching his sainthood with the state. I think both coaches are great, and I am going to support them. Greg from Hastings, thanks so much for the email. And I hope that's the way more Husker fans feel. Yeah, it's tough to root when you're losing. But again, I say, people, day one, this was not a football team that was going to a national championship game. Only thing that makes this a little tougher pill to swallow is imagine if Nebraska had pulled that game out at UCLA. Everybody'd be up in arms today. Oh, our title chances are... Because this would have been a top 10 football team. Nebraska would have been right around number 10 in the country going into this game. Not warranted, but they would have been. Take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Brian Rosenthal, Lincoln Journal star, when we come back.
Have you heard? Proactiv is America's top acne system because it's fast and gentle, and it's all about prevention. So stay tuned for a chance to participate in a 60-day trial to prove it. Do you have troubled skin, acne? With Proactiv, you can heal your acne and help prevent new breakouts. Right now, in this radio area, we're looking for just 50 people with moderate acne to demonstrate exactly how fast Proactiv works. The first 50 callers who qualify can try Proactiv risk-free for 60 days. And you get our dermatologist's clear skin or it's free guarantee. Plus, the trial includes our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer, plus free shipping. Be one of the 50 lucky people to complete this 60-day risk-free trial. You won't see this offer in stores or on TV. It's a radio exclusive. Supplies are limited and free shipping ends soon. Visit GetProactive.com or call 1-800-729-0694. That's 1-800-729-0694.
Hey, this is Mike from HK Sports Bar and Grill, Hastings' hometown Husker headquarters. Whenever the Huskers play, you get our 24-ounce big cans of beer for just $2.50 all day, every game day. And with NFL Sunday Ticket and ESPN Game Day, you have a front row seat for every NFL and college game. So bring the family and join your fellow Husker fans and watch the Huskers on the biggest HD TV wall in town, HK Sports Bar and Grill. Remember, text HKVIP to 90210 for even better offers and bigger discounts.
Monday night, Matt Schaub and the undefeated Houston Texans travel to the Meadowlands to take on the struggling New York Jets. Hi, this is Kevin Harlan of Dial Global Sports. Join Boomer Esiason and me for all the excitement from the Subway Fresh broadcast booth at MetLife Stadium. Can Houston stay unbeaten? Will New York's offense get back on track? Tune in to find out. The Texans, the Jets. If it's Monday Night Football, it's right here.
Brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Football the way it should be. Wings, beer, sports. Sunshine develops across the area today as we climb up to about 79 for a high. Winds out of the west-southwest will stay at around 10 to 20. Tonight, with partly cloudy skies, we'll head back to a low of 44. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 52.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Jimmy Langan slides in. Ooh, special Monday appearance. Joel, sure. You win the pigskin pick'em, and then you just come in.
Yeah,
you just show up.
Yeah, if I ever could win it, I said I was going to show up on Monday and make sure I got credit for it.
Here's the deal. I sat right here on this show and told you I don't feel good about any of these picks. I knew I was coming back down to earth. Pick 5 in the pros, 0-4 this weekend with tonight's game to go. Doug and Daddy contest, 4-6 last weekend. Virginia, terrible. Virginia Tech, be a Virginia Tech fan. Their program was in a better place than Nebraska's coming into the last couple years. They get stomped. I lost the one-pointer with Pitt. So did you. UCLA, why did I pick them? But you having Cal saved us. Both 7-3. Caller Brett. Was Brett from Axtell? Where was Brett from?
Brett was from Axtell.
Brett was from Axtell. Also a solid 7-3, but lost on the tiebreaker because for some reason he only picked 45 points, which was covered by midway through the second quarter.
You know, one of these days you and I are going to take a stand on something, you know, and make a point and go, hey, what's your old runner? I'm like, oh, it's 100. And then people will laugh, and then
you go,
whoa.
Give Brett credit. He's the only one of the panel that picked West Virginia, so he got that one right. But Jimmy went 7-3. He carries it over. What does that mean? Add to the till $120 in gift cards to Cunningham's Journal in the Loft if someone can take us out, beat us on Friday's program in Pigskin Pick'em. Plus, you'll be entered to win the 70-inch HD TV from Russell's Appliance and the Super Bowl party at the end of the year from Cunningham's Journal to Pigskin Pick'em every Friday here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Oh, we just got emails. We've got calls. Let's hit one more email here. This comes from Doug and Carney. Just think how bad it really could be if Nebraska was still in the Big 12. Give up 63 points to Ohio State? Just imagine how many points West Virginia would put up on the scoreboard. Maybe 100? Baylor 65? Texas 55? K-State 50? Would make for exciting viewing, but Nebraska's in the conference they need to be in. Yeah, there is some points being scored this year in the Big Ten, and he was there to witness it, and we are glad to welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show once again. Been too long. Brian Rosenthal, Lincoln Journal star, joins us on this Monday, the no press conference Monday. Brian, what's going on?
No press conference, but I still have to work. Thanks, guys. Appreciate that.
I know. They knocked our power out today. I thought we were going to be in good shape, but let's start with the cool stuff. What was it like? What was Columbus's atmosphere like? What were the fans like? What was everything like leading up to, well, let's say, kickoff?
It was everything you'd think it would be. I mean, it lived up to expectations. I thought during the game the crowd was probably the loudest I'd ever heard for a Nebraska road game. The only one that was louder or as loud was maybe Penn State in 2002. But otherwise, I was very impressed with the atmosphere. You know, they don't have a lot of night games at the Horseshoe. I think this is only the 11th one ever in all those since 1985. So I think we saw it in rare form probably on Saturday night. But I went to a pep rally before the game at St. John Arena where the band plays, and they had like 8,000, 9,000, 10,000 people show up, and the football team comes through, and Urban Meyer says a couple words to the crowd, and that was kind of cool. But yeah, the atmosphere and all the cool things, I think, lived up to expectations.
Brian Rosenthal joins us here from the Lincoln Journal Star on the Doug and Daddy Show. At what point in the game did you first go, uh-oh?
You know, that's a good question. Everybody was asking after the game the turning point, and I don't. It really turned in a hurry. I suppose that long run in the second quarter by Braxton Miller was the first time you thought, "All right, now here we go." Because the first quarter, it was. I turned to Sip and I said, "Miller must be hurt or something's wrong," because it looked like they were protecting him or didn't want to do anything with him, or maybe they were sandbagging. I don't know. But that first quarter, you saw him and you're like, gee whiz, he must be hurt or something because they're not doing anything. And then he broke off that long run and it was just like the floodgates opened. So I suppose that long run in the second quarter, that would be my turning point where I'm like, oh, here we go.
A lot of folks are already questioning Nebraska being prepared. I guess
and it's been pointed out in most of the articles wherever you work over the weekend, that the surprising thing is Bo Pelini wishes he knew how he could fix it, that which I know he would like to take that comment back, but he's probably as befuddled. He's got to believe that he's got his kids ready to go on Friday for the most part, doesn't he?
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily this is my opinion. I don't think it's necessarily a problem of not being ready to go. I mean, the first quarter was great for those guys. They, they played great defensively, and they got off to a great start, and save for the interception by Taylor. I don't think it's I never think it's a situation of them not being ready. It's what happens during the game. I'd point it more toward not making adjustments or making wrong adjustments or not responding when things go bad. And hey, you look last year at Wisconsin. They led that game 14-7 at Wisconsin. You know, Michigan, they were, I think they were ahead at one point in the second quarter. I wasn't at that game last year. I can't remember. South Carolina, they were ahead. I mean, it's not, to me, in those games, it's not them not being prepared during the week or not being focused going into the game. It's what happens in the second half and things snowball. That to me is the common thread with all those games, and it's weird at home. It's like it's the exact opposite. They come out flat. You know, last year against Ohio State and Wisconsin last week, obviously they come out flat and fall behind, and then they get it together and come back. So it's like a reversal of fortunes between the home and road games. But yeah, I mean, Saturday I don't think it's necessarily a case of them not being ready.
This is Jim Lang, and I agree with what you said, and I thought you brought up some good games last year, you know, about South Carolina and some of the games that we were competing in, and, you know, it seems like we were always ready to play. I think the one thing that I look at a little bit here is, as a head football coach, you have so many scholarships, and you got to decide how many am I going to give to the defense, how many do I give to the offense, and if your offense is not very good, you have a tendency to think, hey, I better get two or three or four more scholarships here because our defense seems to be pretty good. And, you know, going back to, like, when Sue, that team, that was a very bizarre team that we had when, you know, we would win games, you know, try to win 10-7 and 14-13. And because of that, you cannot turn the ball over. But when your defense can't stop anybody, on fourth down or third down and nine, you got to take a risk. Those turnovers, people are upset with. The coach is upset with. I'm not upset with, because if we don't turn them over, we're still going to have to punt the ball to them. And I saw no way we were going to actually stop them. I mean, if you have a really good defense, an 80-yard field and playing field position is very important. But there is no field position. That is not even a strategy this year in these games. It's not even a strategy to go, God, we can pin them in, and then we can stop them. Your comments.
Yeah, I agree totally with that. And there's one point in the second half, I think, the fourth down play, and if I was writing during the game, I honestly can't remember if they went for it or not. But I know there's a fourth down play in the second half, and Christofferson and I looked at each other and said, you might as well go for it because, you know, it doesn't make any difference if you give them the ball midfield or give them the ball at the 20-yard line. They're going to score regardless. But, yeah, that's a very good point. People want to, you know, Taylor's taking his lumps, and I'm not going to sit here and add on to it because some of that criticism he deserves. But your point is well-founded in the fact that, you know, they've got to take some chances and, you know, maybe press some things because they know they have to score it. Look, when you score 38 points in a football game, that ought to be enough to win, or at least be in the game.
No doubt.
You know, I'm not gonna sit here and say that, you know, question the offense or should they run or should they pass and all. I mean, this, especially when your head coach is a defensive guy, it'd be the other way around if it were, you know, back in the day, like you mentioned, the 14-13 or 10-7 or whatever, and you wanted to criticize the offense and you have a defensive head coach and everything, but the one thing that this program was supposed to really latch on to under Pelini was defense, and that's why he came here. And that's, oddly enough, that's the problem now that Nebraska has. It's not the offense. And you know, you can, again, talk about the turnovers and everything, but I agree with you. I think when you're pressing, some of those turnovers are going to happen. But you have to press because, as you said, you've got to score when your defense is going to give up some points, and you know it.
You know, the turnovers are a body language change. You know, there was a couple times where Ohio State's quarterback fumbled the football and they happen to recover the ball. You know, and those things, it'd be like almost if you threw a really poor pass and the defensive back dropped the ball. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So there are some things you can do. Sometimes you luck out and you know, you make a bad play. And the one thing, I coached high school football, not very much and not at a high level, but I told our players basically before the season, I said, I'm going to call about 60 plays a game, and 40 of these are not going to work. They're very poor selections by me. And what you do with those 40 plays are very important. If they're a two-yard loss or it's an incomplete pass or you just didn't try to do too much with it, you're not going to kill us. Now, the 20 that I call that are wide open, those are the ones we got to execute. You know, but on defense, you know, losing the David player last year, it looked last year like he did so much. And let's be honest, Sue did quite a bit the year before, and the Crick kid got hurt. I mean, there were some things that happened, but you thought, hey, we can maybe do this. But right now, I don't see the one player, you know, that's actually – I mean, there's some players that are making plays, and they're working really hard, and they got good attitudes. I do like that. Well, yeah, they're trying.
Like we said at the top of the broadcast, and Brian, as we were saying, we knew coming in that this wasn't going to be a great defense. I didn't know that it was going to be like this.
Right, and you know,
well, I disagree. I came into the season thinking the defense would be improved, despite the fact they lost David, and that we know he alone was responsible for two victories last year, Penn State and Ohio State. You know, if he's not making game changing plays in those two games, the fumble on Miller and then the fourth down stops at Penn State, Nebraska loses those games last year, in my opinion. So yeah, it's but even with the loss of him, I thought that they would have a much more experienced secondary, and I do think their secondary is better this year. What I didn't realize is how poor they would be up front. And, you know, linebacker was a question going in, we knew that, but I thought the front four would be better this year. That would be, you know, probably one of those things that I, going into the season, surprised, disappointed, whatever you want to say, with the lack of production up front. I thought they'd be more aggressive along the defensive line. That just hasn't happened. You know, the slowness at linebacker, those things, yeah, I kind of thought that, especially with the loss of David. But everywhere else, I thought they would be a little bit better defensively. And I thought the second year in the Big Ten and having scouting reports and knowing a little bit more of what to expect from Big Ten teams. Now, there's obviously it's only two games into the Big Ten season, but those two things alone, I thought that's why they would have a better defense this year. So actually, I'm really surprised Ohio State scored 63 points on him. You know, Braxton Miller was going to get his. He knew that, but he didn't have anything else. I mean, Carlos Hyde, come on. He was the Big Ten Player of the Week on offense, and he's their backup running back. And it's players like that that you make look really, really good that make you wonder what is going on with this defense.
You know, one thing I noticed a little bit in the game was our defensive backs would be locked on those receivers. Even after they were not hurting us with the pass, they were actually running the ball, and they would be locked on those wideouts, and those wideouts would take off, and we don't even turn around to see if it's a run. I mean, we're following that receiver, and I think that's how they play in the NFL. It really is. That is how you play it in the NFL. But there were times where there would be no one there. The quarterback would be running, and our defensive back still hasn't noticed it was a run yet. You know, so I think our players have got to be able to, you know, put their head on a swivel a little bit and go, whoa, this is a run. You know, the right guard can't go downfield, you know what I mean, unless this is a run. You know, and he's got to make that reaction quick.
I agree.
Did you notice that a couple times?
A couple times, yeah, and communication in general, I thought was lacking within the secondary in a couple of different plays, not just on the, you know, as you mentioned, it's run, not a pass, but when it was a pass, you know, who's got the tight end, and you've got Josh Mitchell on him when he probably wasn't supposed to be, and, some, you know, who's supposed to come over and help on, you know, there are lots of communication issues still in the secondary. I'd agree with you there, and just not being aware, as you mentioned, if it's a run or a pass and those types of things. So, yeah, it just seems to be, for lack of a better word, general disarray.
You know, the penalty situation is something I thought we improved over the last couple of years. You know, when we went down to Texas A&M and got beat, and I think the penalties were like 15-3, and everybody was screaming bloody murder. You know, but there was probably two or three of those that maybe were not a good call, but they still were going to be 12-3.
Still nine on Saturday.
Yeah, but we're still, and that's a good point. I mean, it's still up there, but we are probably one of the most penalized teams in the nation. And no matter how good your players are athletically, this is something I think we can maybe fix. And this, when we're talking about things we need to fix, hopefully we can fix this penalty situation.
See, I disagree. I think the penalties have been a problem ever since Bo took over. They had his first 2 years, either 2008 and 2009, or I think it was actually 2009 to 2010. For consecutive years, they set school records for most penalties in a season. In consecutive years.
Yeah, I was agreeing. That was my comment, was that the penalties were like, from being about worst in the nation, at least we're taking a step in the direction that we're not getting penalized as much. Now, we did have some false starts, but we were used to getting late hits, hitting late. Yeah. I mean, there were defensive backs are just grabbing people to try to stop, always playing on the edge. But, unfortunately for the false starts, but we've got to get better at that. But go ahead and continue. I wanted to say that I do agree, but I think it's heading the right direction. But go on.
Well, it was until Saturday night. I think they, again, they had 9 penalties in that game, and if I remember right, they had 4 false starts and a delay of game in the first half alone, and they did have a personal foul. They had a helmet-to-helmet hit late in the game, so they did have another one of those 15-yard type penalties. Up until this game, it probably had improved a little bit. You hadn't seen as many of the false starts, but the penalty problems in past years, though, have been in games like those road games, as you mentioned, the Texas A&M game and the turnover. You know, you go back to the last 8 games Nebraska's played on the road against ranked teams. Now, I wrote this wrong in my report card. I forgot the against ranked teams part. I just had it as the last 8 road games. But in their last 8 road games against ranked teams, they've had 20 turnovers and 68 penalties. So that's like 8 penalties a game, 9 penalties a game in the last 8 road games or neutral site games against ranked teams. So it's a pattern in big games on the road. And, when they play at home against Idaho State and maybe Minnesota, then they can control those a little bit more, it seems like. But when they get in the tough environments and go on the road and it's a big game or against a ranked team or whatever, that's when things unravel. And that's just a mental thing to me.
Last minute here with Brian Rosenthal from the Lincoln Journal Star. They always think the media folks can answer these coaching type questions, but I'll throw it at you anyway. This came from our email earlier today. Ask Brian, can you tell me why Bo refuses to blitz the mobile quarterbacks? Michigan State is the best at stopping them. We did a great job with it in the first quarter, but then stopped.
Yeah, I don't know why. They stopped doing that after the first quarter, and I'm not a coach. I don't pretend to play one on TV or any of those things. But that's a good question, because I thought the same thing going into the second quarter. And they blitzed early and they pressured. And as I mentioned earlier, it looked like Braxton wasn't going to do anything all game long. And then all of a sudden he broke one. And maybe they thought that, I don't know. I'd have to go back and look at the game and see what adjustments Ohio State made after that first quarter, which I'm sure there were some. And a lot of those things I can't detect right away when I'm watching it live, because those night games were right at the same time that we're trying to watch the game. So some of those things we can see when we're watching the game afterwards, and I haven't watched it yet again. But yeah, I agree. To answer the question, I don't know why. It's it's dumbfounding, really.
Yeah, there are some obvious things you said too about the strategy during the game. I mean, I think when they called timeout, they kind of smelled the fake punt out. You know what I mean? There in the second quarter, or the first quarter, when Ohio State had a fake punt, called timeout, made sure everybody was lined up. They saw a different alignment, or maybe you see the way the players ran out on the field and they're all excited because they know they get the fake punts on. But whatever, they did definitely smell that out. So that was a big play in the game, and it was almost like a turnover when that doesn't work.
Yeah. I guess I'll leave you with this, Brian, because this is obviously the question that most people pose to me or just throw out there generally. Is it the coaching? Is it the players, just not enough talent? Or did they have a hole in recruiting? What's the consensus about between all the writers and media folks that were at Columbus? Well, what do you guys? Well, what was the consensus of why that happened?
I don't know what the consensus is. I didn't get to talk to everybody after the game because it was a night game and everything. But it all goes back to one person, regardless if you're talking scheme, personnel, recruiting holes. It all goes back to one person. So that's my answer to that question.
Well, they get a week off. Then they get Northwestern and Michigan. Do you believe it'll
and
get
that
better?
That one person, by the way, is not me.
So. Yeah, he just got his butt whooped at his alma mater. That's that one person. But does it get better? Yeah.
Does it get better, Brian?
I don't know. You look at past years, you've seen this before. Now, they'll probably go on the road and beat Northwestern and beat Michigan and win at Michigan State and come home to lose to Penn State. I mean, it's something like that. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
That's how they operate. They'll probably win 8 or 9 games, and they'll win a game that nobody thinks they're supposed to. They'll probably be either Michigan State or Northwestern, one of those road games. They'll look like world beaters and come out, and then we'll get the I told you so's, and you know they look great and everything, and then they'll lay an egg against maybe it's Minnesota. It'll be one of those two home games where they're always good for one of those too. I'm not trying to be snarky or sarcastic. I mean, I'm serious.
I believe you.
Every year, and since 2008, when you go back to they won at Missouri, come home to lose to Texas Tech. You know, they win at wherever, come home to lose to Texas. Beat Michigan State last year, can't beat Northwestern. I mean, every year, it's just up and down roller coasters. So I don't think they're going to pack it in. I don't think it's going to be, you know, a situation where when they're done and, you know, they finish 5-7 or whatever. They'll probably still win 8 games, maybe 9. I don't know. But
oh, God.
That's how they operate.
I hope the football team doesn't start getting – I've said that about the basketball team for years. Just when you start paying attention again, then they get beat by a 1AA squad or something. So, well, Brian, hey, we appreciate the time here on the Doug and Daddy Show. It's been too long. We'll do it again.
Okay, sounds good, guys.
Thank you.
Brian Rosenthal from the Lincoln Journal-Star. He was in Columbus and saw what most people saw if they were focused for the whole game, since it was, yes, a night game. Doug Duda and Jim Langan here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Still want to hear your comments. Email, Facebook us, call us. The Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. 888-455-3776. Is that a Jeffrey observation?
I came up with that on my own.
Yeah, Jeffrey says, to those that say we need more Nebraska kids, Nebraska kid, Micah Krackmeyer. Non-Nebraska kid, Will Compton. Good point. And there's a lot of people complaining about the Nebraska kids that have been playing lately anyway. Bruce Furniture, folks, you'll never complain when you see the fine folks at Bruce Furniture in Hastings, Kearney, Holdridge, and Alliance, because since 1977, they've been taking care of you, the customer, whether you want something that's a different color or exactly what you want in size, style, price range, they take care of you. In the last 34 years, they've grown to 4 locations and allows them to compete with all the big chains in quantity buying and freight charges, so you'll always get the low price. And as important, Bruce Furniture maintains the small-town, family-owned business attitude of taking care of each customer individually. Get comfort, get style, get what you want, because it's about the customer, not about Bruce Furniture. As they say, it's not about us, it's about you. Bruce Furniture, Hastings, Kearney, Holdridge, and Alliance. More emails, more calls, and it's not all Huskers from the weekend. We'll touch on a couple of other sporting notes right after this.
Guy Peterman here with a Channel 5 traffic report. Cars are flying down the southbound interstate. These bad boys are not stopping. It's like their brakes are... Look out! There goes another one! Don't you people get your cars checked before winter?
October is Fall Car Care Month at Sears Auto Center. Right now, save $25 on brake service, including new pads or shoes and reconditioning of rotors. This is being prepared. This is Sears Auto Center. Stop by or visit SearsAuto.com for more offers and coupons. Valid for most vehicles. Regularly $144.99. Offer ends 10/27. See store for details.
In the nation, trees fall, traffic lights fail, ceilings come down, and brakes lock up. And when the you-know-what hits the fan, Nationwide Insurance hits the ground running. Because you're not just our first priority, you're our only priority. We put members first because we don't have shareholders. Call 1-877-NATIONWIDE today.
Nationwide is on your side.
Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio, subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney know health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company. Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Sunshine develops across the area today as we climb up to about 79 for a high. Winds out of the west-southwest will stay at around 10 to 20. Tonight, with partly cloudy skies, we'll head back to a low of 44. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 52.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Dude along with Jim Langan on this Monday, cruising towards the noon hour. And at lunchtime means BK, home of the Whopper, Carney's favorite burger for more than 30 years, taking care of all of our guests. Maybe you want to try a little lighter side lunch with their chicken, apple, and cranberry garden fresh salad. It is at BK, two locations in Kearney at 8th Street and 3rd Avenue near Kearney Cinema, and 56th Street and 2nd Avenue on the north side of town, next to Walmart, also Lexington, Cozad, and North Platte. We've got some emails to get to, but Jimmy, we really just didn't get your thoughts overall. I mean, we were talking with Brian Rosenthal there, but just your initial thoughts of what's going on with Nebraska football. Just our thoughts. I mean, we don't know what's going on down there. Heck, there could be an all-out revolt, or there could be somebody sick, or there could be somebody that's on the wrong side of something, or it was just a bad day. And unfortunately, the bad days always seem to happen on the road against top 25 teams.
Right. Well, you know, with your family, when things go bad, when somebody comes home and something, they did something over the weekend or whatever, and they did something, that's what they need, somebody to be stabilized. They need somebody to go, okay, here we go. We're going to move forward. I need to be at my best when my family, things aren't going well in my family. And that's what Bo's got to do. He's got some assistant coaches that are just taking over new, you know, defensive coordinator positions, offensive coordinator positions. He doesn't have something where somebody's been there for 17 or 20
exactly.
years.
Exactly.
You know, so he's got a big job to do. And they have got to look at him as you've got to be the one that's stable. And, you know, I think sometimes on the sideline in the past, we've seen him maybe not be very good during those games and get on somebody and yell at somebody and et cetera. And I think, you know, if you look at, like, some other coaches in the country, that's all you can look at. I don't need to bring their names up, but you can watch and see how they handle those things. You know, there are mismatches, though. I even talked about the Kansas-Kansas State game last week. You know, Kansas worked like heck, just worked like heck to try to make that a close game. I mean, they fake a punt and fake a field goal in their drive to get up 14-7. Eventually, they just couldn't match up athletically. You know, they get beat 56-16. But it's not that the Kansas State program is great. Bill Snyder's done. You look what he's done with that program. You know, but that's a stabilized program right now. I mean, if you look at anybody in the country that you're saying, hey, wow, let me see a program that's really organized and like that. It's that. Nebraska, we want that program. You know, and there's at times where we hope we can get that program, but we take a step up, we take a step back. But it's not a program that you have to say, oh, my, we need to fix it. Well, we've got to fire somebody, we got to go on. We just aren't at that area yet. So when you're asking me my take on this, that would be the take is that when you give up all those points at the end of the game and you can't ever get a stop, you know, that's frustrating, and especially when the offense finally goes down and scores again and cuts it to 10 or cuts it to 7 or and is working so hard, and then all of a sudden it's three plays later, there's a touchdown.
Yeah, we're back out
Yeah,
there.
Exactly.
Let's go to the many emails that we had today, and we've hit some of them. Let's go to more of them. This comes out of Holdridge. Recruiting out of state is what it's all about, and the way Bo treats the media and the public, how can he recruit anybody? I don't know. Kids don't pay attention to that. I mean, there's no kid in Alabama wanting to know how the public's being treated here in Nebraska, and they're fine. You know what?
Bo's just, he's got to answer a billion questions a week, and some of them aren't very well thought out.
You know, when you're the head coach, though, I think you're getting paid quite a bit of money to try to be, have your demeanor a little bit better, maybe at halftime on a national TV when a woman walks out to you and go, hey, you know, that last play, even though it maybe, you know, was a 37-yard interception, yeah, for, hey, how's that going to affect your team? I mean, he's not in a very good mood right now. No. And this is a tough time to come up and ask him a question. But there are times when you got to just suck it up and go, hey, here it is.
Got to give Mac Brown.
Go, here we go.
Got to give Mac Brown. All them damn gun kids. We just, we just made a mistake there. We just can't do that again in the second half. We're going to have to take care of that. I know it's 63-6, but we're gonna have to take care of that here in the second half. We got some good kids out there.
Yeah, you're not going to change his, you know, he's got his own disposition. You're exactly right.
Matt Roseland says, for those that say these are Bo's players now, you are right. 38 points is enough to win a football game, even if you do have four turnovers. Well, I don't know about that. Let's remember that Bo was a first-time head coach when hired here, and in that transition, the recruiting classes weren't exactly elite, especially on defense. We had to move a five-star offensive lineman to D-tackle in Baker Steinkuhler. Kudos to him for making the change, perhaps jeopardizing chances in the NFL as an offensive lineman. But it starts with the D-line, says Matt and Roseland, which hopefully will improve with the next class, along with linebackers. I think secondary is fine and will remain that way. Negativity from fans does not help bring recruits in, so I guess what I'm saying is we all need to be patient because it can only get better. Well, I don't know. That's Husker fan right there. Only get better? 9-4? There's a long way to go the other way, too. Kelly says, I think some of the problem is that Bo has hired his buddies instead of going out and finding top-notch coaches when he's had the chance, recruiters and assistant coaches. I mean, look where we struggle. The O-line, his buddy Barney coaches there. Hasn't been good this year or really any other year since he's been here. I will say he is good at musical chairs. I think every lineman has played every position this year. D-line Kaz has been dealt this hand of this D-line, so the jury is still out on him. Let me stop there. Barney is not his buddy. Barney is on the staff because that was part of the TO, we get these guys back deal. And who do you hire as coaches? Who do you want on your coaching staff? If you get the choice, you're going to bring in your buddy, a guy that you coach with somewhere, a guy that you respect, a guy that you think did a good job. He's not going to go, I'm walking into this dark room and, okay, these are the top 25, you know, graduate assistants in the country, and I pull out of the hat, ta-da! Bob Sorensen, Missouri. Okay, let's get Bob a call. I don't know him, but let's get Bob a call. Hello, Bob. Bob, I have my cell phone in my hand for some reason. Nobody can see that. Bob, would you like to come to Nebraska? Of course you're going to hire people, you know.
Well, you're going to try to hire people that are going to make you look good. You really are. And you're going to hire people that are going to be loyal to you in the program. And sometimes those people are your friends, your coaching staff. They're people that you've met and you get along with. And you see things the same way. You treat people the same way. You know, so.
That was only part of what Kelly had to say. Tim Beck, again, one of Bo's buddies, gets promoted when Sean Watson gets canned. John Papuchis takes over for Carl when he leaves, and I think we can all agree that he is way in over his head. Again, one of Bo's guys. Well, it's his first year. Again, said it at the beginning of the year. None of this is shocking to me. Some of it's a little uneasy. None of it's shocking to me. We said at the beginning of the year, you got to have everybody in place. It takes so much of everything to have a good football team. A great football team, and everything has to come together to be a national championship caliber football team. Going on to say, Bo has had opportunities to go out and find coordinators that are proven coaches and recruiters. Instead, he has went with his buddies. We had a great recruiter. He went on to a bigger and better job. I understand you want to be loyal to your buddies, but what expense? The downfall of Callahan was his inability to fire his friend Kevin Cosgrove. I'm afraid that Bo will have the same fate if he doesn't figure this out. Maybe not this year, but the seat is warming up. I totally disagree with that email. Just about every aspect of it. Sorry, Kel. I totally disagree because I've made the point. We've made the point on the show.
I just hope there's just not a big overreaction. You know, it seems like we have a tremendous way to overreact on this. But I guess, you know, I'm surprised that Nebraska, what did we think our record was going to be at the beginning of the year? I think, you know, you said it here on the show that the Ohio State game was going to be a very hard game to win. I thought the Michigan State game was going to be a tough game to win. Still could be, but people are having success with Michigan State. Right. They're at least staying in the game with them. Everybody is. You know, they may not be as good as they hoped they were. And what is Michigan State's problems this year? It's the offense.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it is the offense.
That's why I think we can win there.
Yeah. And if you don't think Michigan State's not having a call-in show every once in a while. You know, they struggled against – didn't they struggle against – did they play Indiana or was it Illinois this week? Michigan State.
Indiana.
That game
– trailed in the fourth quarter.
Right.
To a horrible football team.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, there are – this isn't the only program, you know, that, you know, year in and year out you're looking at stuff. You know, everybody's got to – yeah,
of course, Wisconsin's offense wasn't very good either.
No, they were not.
And they hung 30. Yeah. With some help of some mistakes.
And that game was close. Their game this week was close until the very end when they scored like 17 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. And, of course, people wanted Mike Stoops instead of John Papuchis. Well, I think Mike Stoops would have been a buddy of Bo Pelini's as well if he had come in to take over the defense. Let's take another break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Folks, don't forget that as you're out in the combines, in the trucks, you're harvesting, you're getting a great job done out there. It's beautiful weather today. Hopefully you're getting on time. I don't know if you're close to finished. I doubt that. But hopefully things are moving along for you. And you want to have everything right. You want to have everything exactly where you want it. And then you start thinking about how come this crop didn't bring as much as it could have? Or why it did do a great job this year. Probably just have to look in the field and you see that T&L pivot sitting right there. Or you don't. You want to make money? This is the time where you figure out how you did it all year long. This is the time where T&L can help you for 2013 because farmers who use hydrostatically powered T&L pivot irrigation systems are continuing to improve their land use and water application efficiency. You get less maintenance cost, improved safety, and less chance of the old copper thief as well. Discover the T&L difference and find out how T&L irrigation systems can be easier on you for a lifetime. See your local T&L dealer or visit T&L's website at TLIRR.com. T&L Irrigation Systems. It's proven technology that works. Don't forget, we will have a Husker lunch Wednesday at Cunningham. Sean Callahan will be on hand to talk Ohio State recruits. Maybe we need better ones. Who knows? But that's Wednesday, the Husker lunch at noon at Cunningham's. We're back with more after this.
Hi, it's the Herd. We're about to put another baseball season in the books, but there's still plenty of drama left, and you can be there to catch all the late season action live and in person. All you have to do is do what smart fans have been doing all summer. Head to StubHub. Choose your seat to get yourself to the ballpark. And if you sign up for StubHub Fan Rewards before buying, you could earn a little extra something with your purchase. So don't let your team head into the fall without you. Get to StubHub. Grab your seats and take yourself out to a ball game.
StubHub! You're not interested in impressing others, just yourself. You don't take shortcuts. Satisfying the status quo doesn't satisfy you. And quite frankly, good enough is never enough. Now there's a work boot that shares your values. Irish Setter work boots. They're as hardworking and determined as you. Exactly what you'd expect from a revered brand with enduring heritage and pride in craftsmanship. New Irish Setter work boots by Red Wing Shoes. Field experienced, job ready.
You can buy the same Whirlpool washer at the Big Home Improvement Store, or you can get it at Rent-A-Center. So, what's the difference?
Credit card account.
Yeah, I think there's a mistake on my bill. It's much bigger this month.
Yeah, that's not a mistake. That's interest.
The credit card bill from the home improvement store keeps growing the longer you take to pay.
Well, how do I figure out the total cost?
Oh, do you have a graphing calculator?
With the Rack Flex plan, the total price you see is the total price you pay with no surprises. Rent-A-Center. Be flexible with your money. See store for details on this rental purchase transaction.
Two men will risk their lives in the fight against gravity. As seen on America's Got Talent and the Today Show, The Passing Zone presents Gravity Attacks. Thursday, October 18th at 7 p.m. in the Merriman Performing Arts Center. This comedy juggling duo is classy, edgy, jaw-dropping, and hilarious. See roaring chainsaws, blazing torches, and razor-sharp sickles. It's The Passing Zone's Gravity Attacks at the Merriman, October 18th. For tickets, go to pickmytickets.com.
Small business owners like me can be seen online.
Now I know what it takes to turn my business around.
It was definitely worth taking time out of my busy day.
Are you ready to make your local business succeed? Attend a free online marketing seminar with Yellowbook 360. Go to ybseminars.com.
You get the do's and don'ts of pay-per-click advertising.
Now it's time to sit back and let the leads roll in.
Register today at ybseminars.com. That's ybseminars.com.
But it's hard leaving all this behind me now, like a scuba solo.
Doug and Downey Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Going to have to see where they have us going to play in a bowl game now. Think it's still the Rose Bowl?
Probably not.
But the sad thing is, what is it, Ohio State and Michigan are the only ranked teams this week, and Ohio State's ineligible, and Michigan is 25th? Oh, the Big Ten's just getting slaughtered. Doug Dude along with Jim Langan here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway is there for you when it's time to buy or sell a new, or buy or sell, whether you want a new or pre-owned car, but you want to get rid of yours. Well, they're there for you. Fastest route, sell it to Midway. Trade in, or they can take care of the process as well. It takes about 30 minutes. They'll look it over, take it for a quick test drive, and give you a competitive trade-in quote so that, again, hassle-free on the new or used car that you get, and then the best quote and the best trade-in value as well at the Midway Auto Dealerships. Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, where the 2012s are moving out. The 2013s are rolling in. Great deals right now on 2012s, the best of the year. It's time to move. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Chevrolet Buick Cadillac. Well, my Atlanta Braves picked to win the World Series. They're out. So there you go. Should Major League Baseball have granted the Braves protest and replayed the end of the wild card game? Jimmy, did you see that where they threw stuff all over the field? The infield fly, which was halfway out in left field, we have not had a chance to. So much has happened since we left you on Friday afternoon. I'm a Braves fan. I wanted to see the Braves win. I only saw it on replay because, just like you, we were headed off to our high school games, of which I saw a great one between Sutton and Donovan Trumbull, this Wiseman kid that can run the option and everything that goes along with it. Oh, you want to go watch somebody fun? They've got another great opponent in Thayer Central this week. Go watch it. I mean, if you want to travel outside of a 25-mile radius, you want to go see somebody else, go watch them. They're good. Donovan Trumbull, good as well. But they ran 72 plays as a high school team. That's insane. That's like running way. I mean, Oklahoma was getting over 100 there for a while. That's that pace of offense. But anyway, should the Braves have been granted the protest? No. Was it a bad call? Maybe not. My only opinion on that was, in being a longtime, lifelong umpire, you've probably never, have you ever umpired a game with outfield officials too? I mean, where you've had six guys?
No.
So, okay. I mean, and that's kind of the point being brought up. Should we have that many? Now that they have replay and you may not need them for the Jeffrey Mayer calls out in the outfield, I just don't think that's the call of the left field umpire. An infield fly rule, I've always thought, was the second base umpire in a four-man crew should make that. Most of the time around here, you're in a three-man crew, so whichever side it is on is the responsibility of the first or third. But when we did do a district or an area tournament, you did have four umpires. Second base umpire doesn't have a whole lot to do anyway. I always figured he's the one that goes out in the outfield and or on the edge of the dirt. He can see everything, and he makes the call. That was the only thing I had a problem with, was that the left field umpire called an infield fly.
Came in and took it, huh?
Yeah.
I wasn't even aware of that to this day, right now. Yeah, that's very interesting.
So I'll say no to our poll question. You can vote today, ESPNSuperstation.com. Over the weekend, do you like Major League Baseball's new one-game wildcard playoff system? 48% said no, you should play a best of three. 36% said yeah. 18% said we like the old format. ESPNSuperstation.com. That is the place to vote on our poll question. Also, here, I wanted to take at least a minute to talk about this, what really Peter Griffin grinds my gears. I'm watching a great performance by Drew Brees and Marcus Colston and the whole very entertaining Saints-Chargers game last night. But also at the same time, there's plenty of baseball on. We all know I'm a Yankee hater, but in this instance, I hate them even more because they won last night. But it just kills me. It's 2-2. Baltimore, you're at home in game one. You don't have home field advantage if this goes to a fifth game. It's 2-2. You're surviving. You get a leadoff double to start the bottom of the eighth inning in a 2-2 game. What should you do next?
You want to bunt that guy to third?
Manager of the year, Buck Showalter, says, no, Adam Jones, no. You know, you're probably a Hall of Famer. And you did bat 200 for the Dodgers once, so let's let you swing away and strike out. Instead of bunting the guy to third, and then anything gets him in, and it's 3-2, and it's a whole different feel going into the ninth inning when the Yankees can still freely swing away, as they did, and put five on the board. That was the first thing that just it happens from time to time where they I can understand where back in the day, Mark McGwire's not going to bunt. A, because he can't. B, because it would be atrocious. He might be a double play anyway. He could lay down a good bunt and they'd throw him out at first. This would not be the case last night. Second thing is, now Joe Girardi, here's why I hate the Yankees. Why did they pull CC Sabathia with one out to go in the ball game? You're up 7-2. You're at Baltimore, so it's not like you're yanking him out of the ball game so he can walk off to the applause at Yankee Stadium. You're up 7-2. One guy gets on. Oh, okay, now you've thrown too many pitches. What a tool.
You think it
was a grandstand play.
You think it was the heat there, the how hot it was?
At the rain delay they had in Baltimore. He's not going to pitch again until the next series anyway, Sabathia. And if he does pitch in Game 5, it's a week away. It just there was no reason to pull Sabathia. Give me a break. He's not on a pitch count. He's not Steven Strasburg. Anything that you saw over the weekend that you wanted to get fired up about?
Well, I'm not fired up about anything, but there's some high school teams in the area that, you know, just are doing a tremendous job. I refereed at Fremont and at Kearney High, and I'll tell you what, talk about some decision-making. Really used the clock real wisely the first half. The coaching staff, the quarterback, McNick, make some really good choices. There were some players that were not open, and he didn't try to force the issue. You know, let's just stay out of turnovers here and let's do things smart. When we got plays, Hunter King deep for some long pass plays, you know, they just executed really well. Used the clock, that team, Kearney Catholic, you know, they're on a roll.
Best game of the year.
Grand Island Northwest, I think, and I could be wrong, but I think they finished the season 2-7 the last 2 years. And they lost to McCook. It was a tough game they lost to McCook. McCook, I believe, went into Aurora and played Aurora earlier in the year. I think Aurora won that game, and all of a sudden now Grand Island Northwest, the quarterback there at Grand Island Northwest, putting up some big numbers.
And I did not talk to anyone from Aurora. I don't know if there was any other circumstances out there, but doesn't matter. Northwest 54-0, and they move in to the rankings. A couple other things. UNK football, there was no scoring in the second half by either team. I don't remember the last time that's ever happened to UNK, but they fall 16-7. The good news is, and we'll have Daryl Morris and Tony Harper on tomorrow, and we didn't even get to asking Brian Rosenthal about the new AD. His press conference is tomorrow. We'll have part of that here on the Doug and Daddy Show. But the Lopers will go to Jefferson City, Missouri next week, where they'll take on Lincoln University. Both are 0-6, so somebody is going to get in the win column. Hastings College cruises past Dakota State. Everybody involved there in the 55-19 win. As we said, Nebraska volleyball looked as good as you could look on Friday night and then maybe as bad as you could look on Saturday. Luckily, they played Purdue, a tough team, and looked great on Friday and played a bad team. Indiana, they played anybody else. They're getting beat on Saturday, but they beat Indiana in 5 sets. UNK wins all 4 matches over the weekend. Hastings College, they win their match against Morningside. Tri-City Storm got a win on Friday night, so that was their only game of the weekend. Girls State Golf teed off today. Should be a pretty nice day today and tomorrow, so that's what all you can hope for in October for these championships. Class A's at Norfolk Country Club, Class B's at Mahoney and Lincoln, Class C Quail Run in Columbus. State softball gets underway in Hastings on Wednesday for all classes. Class A begins at 10 a.m., including Grand Island and Papillion-La Vista. Class B, first games are at 12:30, including Northwest and Seward. And Class C gets underway at 3, including Gothenburg and Arlington. And finally, volleyball, Hastings-St. Cecilia loses to that pesky Columbus SCOTUS in the Centennial Conference Final over the weekend. But SCOTUS is right there in the number 2 spot in C1. St. Cecilia remain number 1 in C2, I would think. FKC tournament tonight. Oh, a little Fort Kearney Conference. That's Jimmy Langan territory. Overton and Elm Creek hosting tonight at Overton. Loomis and Pleasanton at 5:15. The winner plays Overton at 7:15 in between Elwood and Eustace Farnham at 6:15. And at Elm Creek, Wilcox Hildreth plays SEM at 5:15. The winner gets Elm Creek at 7:15 in between. Axtell will play Amherst. Lou Platt Conference Tournament tonight at Kearney Catholic. Donovan Trumbull will play Gibbon at 6. The winner turns around and plays the Stars. Wood River, Adams Central will play Ravenna at 6. The winner will turn around and play the Eagles. And in Ord tonight, St. Paul and Centura play at 6, followed by Ord and Loup City. And we will have the semifinals and finals from St. Paul tomorrow and Thursday on Classic Hits 98.9. But the sun is out. The sky has not fallen. And Nebraska will play again in just under 2 weeks. And that's what everybody cares about, Jimmy.
Yeah, and you know what? you know, hopefully we can go 4-2 in those games. You know, that's reasonable. Let's see if we can go 4-2 and have a successful season.
Well, let's get on out of here. Let's wrap it up. Let's see what happened. Let's get on. Jimmy Lang and the winner in our Pigskin Pick'em. We'll see you again Friday, man.
Yes, we'll see you Friday.
Brian Rosenthal, I want to thank Brian from the Lincoln Journal Star for joining us on the program today. Tomorrow on the program, Damon Day's in as our co-host. We'll hear as much of the Sean Eichhorst introduction as the new athletic director as possible. We will also be talking with Daryl Morris, head football coach at UNK, Tony Harper from Hastings College. That's all part of the Doug and Daddy Show tomorrow. Major League Baseball this afternoon, game two between the Nationals and Cardinals. Our pregame at 3, first pitch at 3:37, followed by Monday Night Football, Texans and Jets. Texans by 8. What do you got?
Take the points.
Man, the Jets can't be that bad, can they? We'll find out. We'll talk about it tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show. Have a good one, everybody.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.
Hey.